All right. Well, we are in the midst of a series of messages that we are winding down. We have about three more weeks. So since January, we've been in the Gospels, and we are titling all these messages, I Met Jesus and I Blank. And we're looking at different people in the Bible that experienced Jesus and what happened to them. And then we're relating it as we look at the Word of how that could then affect our lives. And we have a guest speaker this morning I'm going to introduce in a moment. But first, I want to just ask you guys, does anyone remember I asked you to read a book for the fall that we're going to be going through verse by verse for 3 months? Does anyone remember what it was? Awesome. You guys were listening. Great job. So we are going to start in next month in August. Next month is August. We're going to start studying Ephesians for 13 weeks. It's a really, really beautiful book, and it has a lot of different themes. I've read it and read it and read it, and I've really enjoyed this time not preaching to just really dig into this book, and it's been amazing. But one of the big themes of that book is who we are in Christ. And so if you are a believer in Christ, and if you're not, this applies to you too, because it's an invitation to what can happen to your life if and when you give yourself to Him as your Lord and Savior. And so the book of Ephesians says a lot about who we are in Christ and what does that mean for us as people, and how are we different than other people in the world that are without God. And then the book also just talks a lot about how when we embrace that, how it affects and changes and really brings beauty to every area of our life. There's so much practical stuff in that book about how that identity and receiving the love of God and walking in the promises of God and receiving what He's done for us, how that then begins to work itself out in our lives and how our lives are changing. They're different. And there's so many contrasts of darkness and light and death and life and so many neat things. So I'd encourage you, as I did last week, it will help you a lot. I'm going to do my best to preach some great sermons. And I'm studying. But it will help you a lot if you read the book in advance. Read it several times, Ephesians. And there's a lot of run-on sentences in there, so just get ready. And but it's going to be great, so that's an encouragement to read it. I'm going to introduce April, who's going to be sharing today. Let's give April a big hand. Where is she at? There she is. Give her a really big hand. That happens to me all the time. Take your time. Sometimes you try to move and the microphone like rips your earring off. Take your time. April is, I just wrote some things down about you. Most of you guys know this, but some of you don't. April is, first of all, how long have you been in this church, April? Like 10 years? 2012. 12, so 14 years. See, when you get old like me, you time just all like collapses together. So that's 14 or 15 years, and I got a lot to say, so take your time until you fix that. Let's give her another hand. Is this okay, or do you want a music stand?
This is good. Okay. I wore my heels, so
okay.
That I'm
all right.
Taller than it.
All right, good. So she is a good friend of my wife's and mine, and have enjoyed getting to know her. She's traveled the world with my wife, and they've had many adventures. She's does nuclear engineering. She's a competitive bodybuilder, an adopter of dogs. And but I was thinking about all those things, which are great. But here's what I love about April. And I said this about Kevin. So I was just thinking of the fruits of the Spirit. And I just want to say what I see in your life. I see a person that really exhibits, you know, the nine fruits of the Spirit. April really has a lot of self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, self-control. And you might laugh when I say some of these, because then we probably feel like, not me, if you knew me. But I've watched her for 14 or 15 years, and she has a person who has disciplined herself to follow Jesus in all ways of her life. And it's really remarkable to see that. And then another thing I see in you is faithfulness. You're a very faithful person. You're very loyal to your friends. You're very loyal to this church. You're very loyal to your job. And it's just a very faithful, dependable person. If you don't see April, she's probably either working the night shift at the nuclear plant or serving in kids' church, taking care of our children. Faithfulness. And another thing I just really feel about you is peace. You exude a lot of peace. I know you have a lot of pressure in different areas of your life. And April's somebody that just has an incredible calm when things are good and when things are hard. She exhibits a lot of calm, and it's really admirable. about you. So I'm really excited to have you share this morning, and it's all yours. Call me when you're finished.
Thanks. Well, good morning. It's so good to be here with everybody this morning. I'm actually on call for work, but I'm on do not disturb, and I had someone that said they would cover for me for 2 hours, so do not call me twice to break through my phone. I will not answer. But like Jeff said, thank you for that introduction. I don't know how I feel about all those things, yes, but hopefully, I think some of the parts of it are true, and I'm trying harder at all of them every day. Like Jeff said, we're in this series, I Met Jesus and Blank. And if you listened, if you didn't get a chance to listen to Kevin's message last week, you really need to. I got the opportunity to listen to it after Kids Church. And I met Jesus and I found out who I was. And as soon as he said that title, I was like, man, why didn't I think of that? That's a good topic. Because, it's true, right? If you listen to his message, you will hear so much goodness in it. Like, I wish I would have come up with that idea. But Kevin did, and he did it so well. So please go back and listen to that. Listen to the whole series. Today, I have the exciting topic of consistency for you. Finding out who you are is a little bit more fun than the word consistency. And when I told Jeff what I wanted to talk about, he recommended maybe I met Jesus and I kept showing up. That sounds a little bit more encouraging and fun maybe than the word consistency, right? So that's going to be the title. I met Jesus and I kept showing up. And really that's what life is. It's showing up to do things. We showed up for church this morning, right? Probably showed up in your kitchen for some coffee or some breakfast. We show up for work. We show up for family, friends. It's all about the things that we're just doing all the time, right? If you play a sport, if you're learning a new language, if you take an art class maybe, you show up for all of those things to get better at them, right? So top athletes don't stop practicing. They don't stop showing up for practice. They don't stop training. If you're learning a language, you don't take one class and you're an expert in that language, right? And even if you do become really good at that language, if you don't use it, you lose it. I have a friend who lived for 20 years in China. He was born there, lived there 10 years, immigrated to the U.S., and then worked there for 10 years. That's where I met him. I was having dinner with him the other night. His family and him were just in Shanghai visiting. And then he was just talking about being there with his kids and his wife. And he made a comment about his teenage son, how his Chinese is probably better than mine now. And this is someone who spent 20 years of his life as a native Mandarin speaker, but he doesn't use it all the time. So we are consistent in those things. We show up because that's what we do to get better at those things. And even just to keep them at status quo, right? Sometimes it's not getting better, it's just retaining. So let's talk about what it means to keep showing up, right? We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning, so you can start flipping there, and I'm going to pray. Lord, we just thank you. I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for the growth that I've had since I started coming here. I thank you for the people that have helped me and walked through so much with me that got me to stand here today. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Just pray blessing on your word this morning as we go throughout our days and our weeks. And we just pray, I pray that we all see your love a little bit in some way this morning. Amen. So in Luke chapter 2, which I realized whenever I flipped there this morning, I already had a place marker because I preached out of Luke chapter 2 at Christmas. Different topic, different verses. But in Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem. There's a census that they have to partake in, so they're required to go there. That's where Jesus is born. And then they go to Jerusalem after Jesus has been born because the law of Moses required that the firstborn be consecrated to the Lord. So they go to Jerusalem. That's where we find our family this morning. And there's encounters with some different people in this chapter, and we're going to talk about one of them and what it meant. And what we've kind of seen in this series at times is people who met Jesus and some sort of like behavioral or lifestyle change happened after meeting Jesus. But this morning, our person, our subject is actually, we're going to see how she met Jesus and she showed who she was already. So Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna, she kept showing up. Three short verses tells us about her character and how beautiful her character is and how wonderful this moment is with Jesus. And you could go and read those verses, and if you're reading through the whole chapter, right, sometimes we just keep reading, but let's, when we get to focus on just a few verses at a time, we get to see the goodness that God has in every single one of those words. She placed importance on certain things in her life because she did them daily. So what can we learn about consistency from Anna? So I've got some points. These are basically in order of the verses, so it's not in an order of importance, but we can be consistent through adversity. So adversity, it's a tough word for a reason. And the thing is, we're all going to have challenges in our life in some way, some major, some minor. Right here at the beginning, we're told that Anna was married for 7 years and then was a widow for a very long time. Now, some translations are a little different. She was most likely married very young, because in the Jewish culture, typically girls got married as teenagers. So maybe she was 24 when she became a widow. And then potentially, again, the translation's a little off, but like maybe 60 to 80 years as a widow, right? A long time she was alone. So she lost her husband. The point here is she lost her husband. She grieved a death. Something that we are all going to experience in our lives, right? We are all going to lose people we love in some way, whether it's through death, whether it is just the loss of a friendship or a family member that you don't talk to, you have a falling out with them. It could be big, it could be small. Your adversity is important to God. And it can be easy when you are going through something very challenging to stop showing up for a lot of things, right? Maybe you don't come to church because you're fighting with someone here. You don't like someone here. So, I mean, it's a small room, it feels like, right? But there are a lot of people in here. One person shouldn't stop you from showing up. It's easier said than done. I get that, because it's awkward, right? We're going to show up for work. There are people I don't like at work. I got to keep showing up, and I got to work with some of those people. And I do my best. Pray a lot. So church shouldn't be any different. You should not show up for your job, right? So does that mean not show up for church? And really, in that moment, maybe is getting with some other folks and getting with those people, and maybe not finding full resolution, but just finding some sort of peace in that moment. If it is a friendship and it's hard and it's awkward, yeah, that's a loss and you should grieve it. But keep coming. We, yesterday, we were at the pantry and Jeff was here, and he said, hey, I'm going to go help in the backyard because all these trees were down, right? He talked about that. People came to help. I'm going to go do that. I said, that's fine. We had a bunch of people yesterday, volunteers. It was great. I always say we never have enough because we'll use everybody that's here in some way. And so Jeff's out there, and at one point, it was about 30 minutes before we were going to start, but Mark said, hey, It's starting to pour out there. Should we let people in? And Mark's a lot nicer than me. I was like, all right. I make them stand outside. We try to set up, right? We're trying to like do our thing and set up. So we don't usually open up the doors till right at 3 o'clock when we're ready to serve. But so we let the folks in, and then, I mean, it just kept getting worse and worse, right? It was like a monsoon out there. And we had already just started serving, and I looked out, and I see Jeff running through the backyard, and it's just pouring and pouring. And I know some other folks were out there, too. So then he came in and said, yeah, I'm going to go home because, like, I'm drenched, and this is uncomfortable. But I said, yeah, we're good. We got this. And as we're talking, you could hear screaming in the hallway. So all the folks sit out, we're in the kitchen, so the folks from the community come in and sit out in the hallway in the pews and wait till we call them in. And you could hear screaming and like maybe stomping. We weren't really sure. And I said, I think there's some like special needs folks out there. So he said, all right, I'm gonna go see what's going on. So he was out there and kind of came in and said, hey, can we get these families through a little earlier? And that's, let me tell you, that's a big deal. Numbers at the pantry is a big deal. Big deal. Like, they know their place, and they better get their right number, and they will tell me about it. So I'm like, yes, I think everybody will understand. And we really never said anything. No one, you could see the folks were a little concerned out there too, right? So no one said anything. But so we had those families come through separately, but earlier than their numbers. So then talking to Jeff afterwards, I didn't really hear all that was going on. So there was a son that was maybe like a preteen, and he was having some, you know, issues. He was getting riled up and was setting off another special needs woman who I think maybe was a teenager. So we tried to just get them through and out. And the mother of the boy, I guess, you know, Jeff was talking to them, said, I don't think she has him like in any programs. And you know, I just thought about how, like, I'm sure she deals with that all the time. And she's been here before. It's been a while. We've never had that experience with her before. I don't remember if her son was here or not, but she has that all the time. And she has to still go to get her laundry detergent. She still has to go to the grocery store or take him with her wherever she needs to go, right? She doesn't have the option through that adversity and that challenge in her life to just say, well, I'm just not going to go do my life things because I have my son and it may cause a problem. And what was really neat in her showing up yesterday and having that moment here was there was a woman, she comes every month, her name is June, and I didn't hear what she was saying, but I talked to her later because I said, thanks for kind of helping with that situation. And she said, well, I have an adult son and I have lived through that life. I know it. And she gave her numbers of places and programs, and she was talking to her about different things she has to do when he turns 18 and how she can get that stuff for free. And she's like, I didn't know any of that. I learned it, and I paid for stuff that I found out you get for free. So when you show up in your challenging moments, you never know who's going to be there to support you. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. That woman showed up for shampoo yesterday, for hand soap, and she got so much more. And I don't know how she felt in that moment. I didn't ask her. I know if it was me, I would have been overwhelmed, maybe a little embarrassed, you know, not sure what to do, trying to get control of a situation that I don't feel like I have control of. But it didn't need to be that. She didn't need to have it because that was all supposed to happen so somebody else could come into her life and help her. If all those things didn't happen, she wouldn't have made that connection. She wouldn't have now more information that she has now than she had before. So keep showing up when it is hard. We need to show up. I'm not saying that there isn't a time for staying home and staying in bed and having a good cry, you know? There is time to stay away, but we need to keep coming back. So we're coming, we're showing up through adversity. We can be consistent in our relationship with God. I mean, it sounds, you know, obvious, right? And when we see what Anna was doing here, she was showing up day and night, praying, worshiping, fasting. All ways that she was making a connection with God every single day. Think about how you make your connection with God, what your relationship with God is like, the time that you put in. You know, we think about, if you think about like a romantic relationship or a family relationship, how do you make your connection with the people in your lives, your friends? What does that look like? What do you do? Maybe you go out to coffee with your friends. You ask them about their lives. There are different levels of friendship too, right? You have like work friends that you may talk about like work and some lighthearted stuff with, and then you have those deeper friendships. But we maintain relationships by consistently being in people's lives. Maybe with God, you read your Bible every day. I dropped out of it a long time ago, but there, I think, is a group that reads a chapter of the Bible every day. I stopped showing up for that one. But talk to Jeff if you want to be a part of it. But it is, it's just a chapter. Some chapters are really short, too. And all it is reading it and then maybe sending an email to the group if you have any thoughts on it. And some people have some really great insights on what they've read. But it's like maybe 5 or 20 minutes, which isn't much, that you just take in the morning before you do anything else, or maybe right before you start work or whatever, while you're drinking your coffee, your tea, and you get that time to read the word that God gave us already. He made it simple. He made it simple. It's in writing. Maybe you do actual Bible studies, you know, buying workbooks or watching videos, answering questions, and kind of working through in more in depth what certain parts of the Bible mean. Maybe you really love listening to music, so you spend time in worship, whether you're a musician or not. You spend time at your house listening to Christian music in your car. Like Anna was doing, maybe you're fasting. We have twice a year, we do what's called a feast here, and we call it that. We fast from something for 40 days, right? Whether it's social media or sugar or TV or whatever it might be. And we have the ability then to have more parts of our lives that are available to spend with God. And spending time with Him, again, in the Bible maybe, or just in prayer, or with other Christians, you know, taking that time where maybe you would spend watching your favorite TV show or watching, you know, more movies, and you connect with somebody in the church. Everyone's relationship with God is going to look different. What's important is the consistency in it. Again, it says here, Anna's in the temple day and night, worshiping, fasting, praying. Jeff mentioned that, you know, I've traveled with Jennifer, and I like to travel a lot, if you know anything about me. Usually the question I get asked is, what trip are you planning next? I know you're planning one, which is always true. I've always got something in the works. And depending on the type of vacation I take, they're all a little bit different, right? So I have a friend that lives near Cancun, and when I go visit her, I've been there a ton of times. And it's a very quiet town, small town. We scuba dive is a big thing, but we usually it's like I'm going there to rest, right? Like, let's sit on the beach or sit at the pool. I need a break. I just need to be away and not think about anything. But some vacations are not like that. And if you ask Jennifer Miller about what our trips are like, we spend 2 weeks eating nothing but carbs, walking about 70,000 steps a day, and barely sleeping. It's go, go, go. We're like, we're going to see, we're here, we're going to see everything we can until it knocks us down and we get sick, and then we're like, okay, we got to sleep a little bit. We come back usually very tired, but full of incredible experiences. We see amazing things, and we just have
a really fun time. And we learn a lot, right? We're like learning how to navigate all these different countries constantly. When I, so my friend that lives in Mexico, she was in Colombia last year for a few months. She really wanted to, she's into salsa. And she was like, I'm gonna go there. She went for 4 months and took salsa lessons, consistent, every single day. She wanted to get better at it. And she was doing Spanish lessons too. That kind of dropped off as she focused on salsa. But I went to visit her over New Year's Eve for a week. And I was doing a Bible study at the time, so I just had my workbook. I took that with me. And we'd go to the gym in the morning, and then she might have to go do some things. So I'd go back up and I'd say, that's fine. I'm just going to go do my Bible study, you know. And she's not a believer. Every time I do this, whether I'm visiting her in Mexico or wherever, and I have my workbook and I do it, and it, you know, it's like I'm spending like 15, 20 minutes, maybe sometimes longer, but she's super impressed that like on my vacation that I brought that, because by the way, I am a very light packer, as lightly as I can pack, and I want to use every single thing that is in that bag. I have a backpack, and I want it to be valuable what takes up space in my bag, and my vacation is successful if I use everything in my bag, because I feel like it was a waste of space. If I took that shirt and I did not wear it, something else could have taken that space. I could have brought back a souvenir in that space. So she's like, you barely pack anything, and it's important that you bring that. And I don't necessarily take it on every trip I go on. You know, sometimes I have a tablet and I use that for different things. It takes up a little less space. But the importance is, just because I go on vacation doesn't mean God does. He does not take vacation from us. We should not take vacation from him. He doesn't become less important because we're going to see the Eiffel Tower. He's there with us. And it doesn't have to look like I'm sitting doing a Bible study every morning, but are we inviting him into those things? Are you in your car in the morning just saying, Lord, you're in all of this with me today? And then spending your day reminding yourself of that. It's just about the consistency in some way. It doesn't have to be this major thing that you're doing. It's about showing up. It's about being there because God is going to be there for you. He wants that relationship with you. That's the thing. He wants it. And he's always there for you. He's always there waiting for you. So we're showing up. In adversity, in relationship with God, and in the mundane. So you may not know what that word means. Maybe you do. Maybe you hear it and you think the word boring. I know that's what I think when I think mundane. But really, I looked up the meaning, the definition in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And it says that mundane is an adjective. One way to use it is characterized by the practical, temporary, and ordinary. So the internet also uses the words routine or lacking in excitement, so maybe boring. And here, I'm not trying to convince you to do boring things, but rather looking at this word as ordinary or routine. Like our daily things. Again, we show up, we go to work, and maybe work's not that exciting. We show up, we have our coffee. Anna's in the temple worshiping, praying, fasting day and night. So the key thing is she's doing these things daily, twice a day, really, day and night, day and night, day and night. She has her routine. I know we all have some sort of routine. I was just saying to Kelsey yesterday about getting ready to go back to school, and you get into your summer routine if you're a teacher, or even if you're not a teacher, but your kids are home from school. You find a summer routine, right? But it's nice to have more of that structure, right, whenever you're headed back. My dogs have a routine when I want to sleep in. They'll just go to the bathroom on the floor. They're like, all right, I tried to wake you up. I'm like, all right, well, you'll learn your lesson, Mom. I still haven't. I've had dogs since 2010. I still haven't. I'm like, you can hold it. No, they won't. They don't care. But, you know, so we're showing up in the mundane. We're doing our daily things. We're doing the routine. The thing is, we're not going to be on fire all of the time for the Lord. So we don't just show up for the excitement, for the back-to-school bash, which I'm sure is going to be amazing. But they have youth group every single Sunday, which I'm sure is also exciting. But it's the consistency. It's the routine. You're showing up whether you think it's going to be exciting or not. Every sermon on Sunday morning isn't going to have some deep impact in the moment for you. It might. Or you might hear it, and then it is relevant to something that happens a few weeks later in your life. Every time we read scripture, it might not hit us immediately. But it is there. We read it, we stay in it, we're consistent in it, because you never know when it's going to hit you, when it's going to have that deep impact. I work out at the Vogel plant in Waynesboro. So I live kind of near town. I cut across, and I get to Mike Padgett 4 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, and just head south for a very long time. Every day, it's my routine. It's not exciting. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I practice Group X choreography. But lately, on my days off, or like I was on call this week, so I was working remotely, I've been going to the North Augusta Y to work out in the morning. So from my house, I'm driving 13th Street across the bridge into North Augusta. And I knew, so if you've ever driven it, I knew about this guy that stands at the corner of 13th Street and Green Street. But I really don't ever see it, right? Because I don't take that route often. But I got to several times over the last few weeks. And so I'm driving there on Tuesday, and I see him. And if you don't drive it, you just have to see him. Like, it will brighten your day. He just stands on the corner and waves. He is affectionately known by the Augusta community as the Wavy Man. And he's just, big smile on his face, waving, waving, waving. So I'm driving there. And I thought, well, what says consistency? Like a guy who stands on the corner every day. There's our guy. Waving. And, I mean, you'd never know. I don't want to call what he does boring, because you would never know it by his excitement. So I was going to stop and talk to him that day. When I came by, he was already gone. So I'm on the internet that night kind of looking stuff up. And I found he's done interviews on local news stations, radio stations, with local social media influencers. There's a bunch out there. And honestly, I was like, oh, okay, I don't have to stop and talk to a stranger. Somebody's already done it for me. Because I am not Carolyn King. I am not someone who talks to people I don't know. But I dug deep, and I found a little bit of Carolyn's spirit in me. And on the way Wednesday, I left a little early Wednesday. And I wasn't 100% sure, but I was like, I think he's out there every day. If he's there, I'm going to stop. And there he was. I'm like, okay. And he was so kind and talked to me for about 20 minutes. Because I just wanted to hear straight from him. He said, hey, you know, other people have interviewed me. And I said, I know, and I was going to use it, but I'm being brave today. This is very outside of my comfort zone. I wanted to hear it directly from him. So I asked him a few questions. So his name is Napoleon. That is his given name. He loves the name the Wavy Man. I took some notes while I was talking to him. And also, he mentioned at one point, while we were just chatting, we chatted about a bunch of stuff as we were standing there. He has the nickname Pork Chop, too. I didn't ask him why. Doesn't matter. I was just taking in information and enjoying his enthusiasm. And he is just excited. Excited about standing on a corner waving, y'all. So I just asked him, you know, so I asked him if he was from Augusta. He's not. He's from West Palm Beach. He has lived here about almost 6 years, so a little over 5 years, almost six. And I asked him how long he's been waving to the Augusta community. A little over 5 years, almost six. And so he's out there daily, Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 9. He used to do Saturdays too, but I don't think he's typically out there. And Sunday is church day, so he is at church on Sundays. He does not go out on Sundays. But he does work at a rental place, and he told me that when he got that job, he told them, I am unavailable. He's out there 6:30 to 9, Monday through Friday. He said, I can't start till 9 o'clock because I got my other job to do in downtown. And they were like, okay. And let me tell you something that's really extraordinary about this. So here's how this started. He was homeless here. And he was right across the street there. If you go up like a block or two is the Salvation Army Center of Hope. And there's a soup kitchen there, there's a shelter there. So a lot of homeless people hang out there, right? Because they have to leave during the day, they go back at night, or they're waiting for meals and such. So he was hanging out there in that crowd. He had his sign asking for help. And he just felt like one day God told him, put your sign down and just be kind. So he put his sign down and he started standing on the corner and just waving instead of holding his sign. And I'm not saying that the people that do that are wrong or bad. I'm just saying God told him, put it down. And he just started waving to everybody. So, for someone who didn't have a job and was homeless to tell an employer, hey, I got this other thing. I can't start till 9. It's brave, right? It's awesome. So when I asked him, are you out here, rain or shine? He said, like the mailman, I always deliver. What else did I ask him? He said some really good things. Oh, he told me that early on, he would get told to leave because he was loitering. The cops would tell him, you can't stand here and loiter. And he's like, I would just say, okay. And he would leave, and then he'd come back the next day. Like, my shift ended early, okay, I come back the next day, do the same thing. Once he started being on TV and radio and stuff, they don't tell him to leave anymore. And he was telling me how, especially early on, people would drive by and make obscene gestures at him. Can you imagine? But then I thought, how many times are people nice to me and I'm not that nice to them? I don't know, because I'm in a bad mood. But like wild, right? Yeah. And he had to fight the urge to respond in kind. So he just waves and smiles, and he said, my blessing needs to be good no matter what. And he really emphasized that he loves the children when they go by and how it lights up their faces and they wave. And he started doing the heart because a little girl did that to him. So he loves that. And he's, you know, he brought up the kids a lot. And he mentioned, like, right now they're out of school, so I don't see as many kids. And every time one went by, it made him super excited. And, you know, I said, like, you know, besides, like, the obedience part of it, I said, you know, why do you do it? Every day. He said, I come out here and my wrist gets swollen from all the waving. Right? Said, it makes me happy and I like being happy. May we all show up and do the mundane things like Napoleon. And like I said, he's got a job now, he has a home, he has a car. Those blessings came by him doing something so simple. Just waving, just being kind. They came anyway. And yes, sometimes we need to ask for help too. So, adversity, relationship with God, doing the boring things, doing the routine things, and being consistent in gratitude. Anna meets Jesus and immediately gives thanks. That is what happens when she meets him. And probably because she gives thanks consistently. When you pray, are you just asking for things? And we are told to go to God with our requests, absolutely. But are we remembering what he's already done for us? And giving thanks. It poured yesterday. People got soaking wet. The wonderful volunteers were taking bags out to people's cars and just getting soaked doing it. But the rain, we need the rain. I don't think it really cooled anything off. It just makes it steamier in the summer, but it was good. We need it. If you go on to social media, if you go on to any streaming service on TV, if you listen to the radio, if you listen to a podcast, we are inundated with advertisements. And what are advertisements there for? They're there to tell us what we are lacking in our lives, right? Here, really, it's framed in, if you had this thing, your life would be better. If you had this shampoo, your hair would be prettier and your life would be better, you'd be happier. If you had this shiny car, look at all the techie things it can do. It would be so easy, you don't even have to drive it yourself. Life is easier, your life will be better. And on and on and on. We need bigger houses. We need more money. We need the expensive face cream, right? We need to go to this flashy gym. We need the best clothes. Your life will be better. So it's telling you what you're lacking, framed in a positive manner, of course. But are we thankful for the things, for the clothes we already have, for the shelter we already have, whether you own a home or you rent a room, for the car that gets you to work, even if it's not the nicest, even if it does break down, for the running water we have in our houses? I'll tell you what, I think we're all a little bit more thankful after Helene. I think we all appreciate our air conditioning a little bit more and our power. But we can forget that. We can get our paycheck. I just got paid on Friday, right? What happens when you get your paycheck? It's like, okay, what bills? Where am I sending all this money to? Who have to give my money to? I pay Georgia Power, just like you all do, by the way. And it's easy to look at that and watch that number go down and say, if only I had more money. If only my paycheck was larger. Because I don't have any money left. Maybe you're not even affording all of your bills. That's a very real thing. If only I had more money to pay all of my bills. Or if only I had a little left so I could take my kids to this amusement park or have this nice vacation with my family. All great things. If only I had a little bit more money. But what if we looked at it, and even if it's not going to pay all the bills, and even if we have nothing left afterwards, and say, thank you, Lord, for the money that paid these bills. Thank you that I was able to pay for these things. And then, yes, absolutely, I'm ready for more whenever you got it, Lord, right? It'd be nice if I could pay these ones too. It would be nice if I could treat my kids to this thing, my spouse, my significant other, my parent. Absolutely. But what if we walked into our house and instead of looking at all the things, like I wish I had more closet space, I wish the fridge was a little bit better, I wish I had a better washer and dryer. What if we looked at them and said, oh, thankfully my clothes got dried today. Or even just cleaned. Hey, I didn't have a dryer when I lived in China, and I hung everything. It was stiff and wrinkled all the time, but it was clean. What if instead of immediately thinking how all of those things in our lives could be better, we see the goodness in the blessing in what we already have? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So let's give first, let's give thanks for the things that we have. My friend Amy, who I visited in Mexico, she sees the beauty in everything. You're walking with her and she's like, did you see this flower? Look at this guitar, that's such a pretty brown. And she is so, like everything, it could be anything, like you don't expect, you know? Wow, that purple on you is beautiful. wow, your eyebrows are amazing. Like, it might be anything. She sees, like, she just sees the good. And it's not that she never sees the places that need work, but she sees, like, the beauty in everything. And might we see that first, the goodness in everything? In three short verses, Anna teaches us so much about consistency and what it means to just keep showing up. About showing up when it's not easy, about showing up connecting with God, about showing up in the daily things, about showing up and being thankful. I think one of the hardest things we can do sometimes. So may we all keep showing up. Thank you.
Let's all stand. Great job.
Thanks.
Thank you. Awesome. Let's pray. I believe the Lord wants to soften some hearts in the room today. So let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to bear fruit in the reading of your word today. We welcome you to move among us. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence. Bless you. We're going to just continue waiting for a few minutes. So just kind of chill, dial down, be still, and know that He is God. There's some folks in the room that you need prayer. I'm not going to share anything specific yet, but there's just some folks that you came here and you need prayer. And if you need prayer, I want to go ahead and invite you to come up here in the front, and we want to have some people pray for you. So if you just came needing prayer, come on up. As April was talking this morning, I was praying, and I felt like the Lord showed me a picture of a field that was empty, ready to be seeded. And I asked the Lord what that was, and I feel that it's a prophetic picture this morning. I think there's some of us this morning that there is something coming up in your life, and there's some new seed that's about to be sown, and there's some new fruit that's about to come in your life, and you might be excited about that, and you might also be scared about that. And I felt the Lord just saying that I'm going to soften and turn over that field and turn it up so it's a soft place in the hearts of my people so that I can sow good seeds and they will grow and they won't be taken away or burned from the sun. So I believe that some of us, and this is also for prayer if you haven't come up yet, if you're looking at something coming up in the next season of your life, and it's just maybe you can relate to that picture I shared of just an open field of beautiful soil, and you want to invite the Lord to come and just till that and prepare that and soften that, and part of that might be softening your heart so that He can do what He wants to do in this next season. If that speaks to you, I want to invite you also to come up and get prayer. So if that's you, you can come on up. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Father.
So during worship, I felt the Lord saying that you need to open up the Bible and just read the verse that I have for you. So Ephesians 1, starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
Looking at that, I felt like that also just ties into what Pastor just said about the fields and the fruit. Just remembering that we're all redeemed within him. We can go from there.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We need some people to come and pray and lay hands on these folks. I'm going to be finished in a few moments. Also, there's a few folks in the room that right now you're just, you may have come up or you may have not, but you are being disturbed by God right now. You might be in your seat, you might be up here in the front, but I sense that some of us right now, it's almost like you're feeling uncomfortable. And I would suggest to you, if that's what's happening, it's just because the Lord he's heavy upon you, and sometimes we become that way. If he's just, you know, it's sort of like if you're mad at somebody and they try to hug you, you know, and you're like, don't hug me, I'm mad right now, you know. And I think that for some of us in the room, that the Lord, he wants to hug you, he wants to forgive you and shower you with his love, and it may be a little uncomfortable. And I would just I'd be a human voice that just says that the Lord, he wants to be in your life. And if you feel that, you have the opportunity to surrender to him and surrender that thing that's making you that way. And it's hard. I understand. We've all walked away. But he's for you and he wants you. So we need some more folks to come in the front. We need four or five more people. So come on up and help pray. We lock the doors. They're bolted. You're not getting out till everyone gets prayer. Send people in the center here. Come on up and help. We need some people over here on the right side. We need several ladies, actually. We have several ladies without prayer over here. Come on. Come on up come on up and help us. We have some newer families and folks today with us, and I would encourage you, you know, you might have not seen a model like this before, and there's no spiritual, there's no mysticism, there's nothing happening up here, there's no manipulation. We're just trying to say, if you came to church and you came to the hospital is a place for the sick, and we have nurses and doctors here that are the hands and feet of Jesus, and we're just willing to receive confession and bear each other's burdens. Father, bless what's happening. Lord, thank you that this is a church that shows up, and thank you for the grace to show up. And we ask for more as we continue. Would you lead us and just bless the day in the name of Jesus? Amen. Guys, have a great Sunday. If you're getting prayer, please take all the time that you need. And all others, bless you. Enjoy this wonderful hot day.